sing Touch Your People once again.
Touch Your People once again.
Amen. Let's lift our hands and sing tonight.
Lift your precious holy hands, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon this earth. You are living, glorious church. Not for temporary needs, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow away. Oh,
let your mighty rushing wind blow in.
Let your mighty rushing wind blow in.
Oh Lord,
touch your people once again.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we need your touch tonight, Father. We need you to come and touch us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord Jesus. Oh, let us praise him and worship him. Give him thanks for such grace that's been granted unto us, that we could be gathered tonight to hear his word once again. Receive, Lord, we deliver in him. Oh, we thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the great mercy of God, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise and honor to you. Amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. May the Lord, could he come and pray with us tonight? Open our service tonight in a word of prayer. Amen. Let's look to him tonight. He would come and touch us once again. Amen.
Hallelujah. Almighty God, Lord God, we come before you this evening, Lord. Father, with open heart, Lord God, we come humbling ourselves, Lord Jesus. Father, remember the scripture that said, Lord, when a people that is called by thy name shall humble themselves, Lord, and look towards heaven, Lord, and confess our faults, Lord Jesus, you said that you'll hear an answer, Father, Lord. For the past few days, Lord, and even before that, we have been consecrating ourselves, Lord, with expectation that even again that you would come tonight, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings, Lord. When we are failed in thought, in word, in deed, Lord God, we pray that your precious blood be applied to our sins, Lord, our iniquity, Father. Lord God, for we place not confidence in our own selves, Lord God. We come not bringing anything, Lord God, like in ourselves before you, Lord, that you should accept. But we come being identified with that Lamb, Lord Jesus. That Lamb that has been slain even before the foundation of the world, Father. That Lamb that has been slain for our iniquity, Lord, and for our very redemption, Lord God, Father. Lord God, as we come healing ourselves, Lord, placing our hands upon that very Lamb, Lord, that word that has come unto us, Lord God, being identified with that Lamb, Lord, that very life could come back upon us, Lord Jesus. We pray your precious blood be applied to us tonight, Lord God, Father. And as we heal ourselves unto thee, that in the simple way that you would come, Lord, we'll not stumble over your simplicity, Father. Lord, oh God, knowing that you designated these few days of meeting, Lord God, we know, oh God, sometimes as human beings, we come so expecting, Lord, so great things, Lord God, that sometimes we could overlook the simplicity in the way that you would come, Lord. So help our minds to be tuned into the simple way, Lord Jesus, that you would come, Lord God. We know it's nothing greater than your word, Lord, and your great Holy Spirit coming forth through that word, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to have a receptive heart, Lord, that when we leave this place, we leave this place closer drawn unto you. We leave this place and we'll not be disappointed, Lord Jesus. But we know even if we are disappointed, it's not because you didn't come, Lord Jesus. Because we have that confidence that you'll be here, Lord God. Help us to receive, Lord. Anoint your song leader, your musicians, Lord Jesus. May we all be lifted up in your divine presence, Lord God. And may the angel of the Lord that stood with your prophet, Lord, it stand with your servant who have been anointed by you, Lord Jesus. But we believe that he ordained the leaders true, Lord God, and
We believe the words is in his mouth, Lord God. And we as children, we come, we are sheep, Lord, to follow, Lord Jesus. So as we humble ourselves in your divine presence, Lord, we know not, oh God, what tomorrow holds for us, but we believe that what you will say today, it will help us to live better Christians tomorrow. Lord, reveal yourself one more time, Father. Anoint us one more time, Lord Jesus. May it not just be upon our spirit or on our flesh, Lord, but may it go deep within our souls, Lord Jesus. That we'll be transformed in your own image, Lord God. That when we leave this place, we'll not have to come back and deal with the same things that you deal with in times past. But we'll go on in Christ, Lord Jesus. Going on to that statue of a perfect man. Where we could stand in that oneness with you, Lord Jesus. May the great Holy Spirit, Lord, come down in our hearts, Lord. And when we leave this place, Lord, we benefit, Lord God, Father. Have your own way. Anoint your servant. Anoint, Lord God, Father, your officers, your ushers, your trustees, Lord. Anoint the laity, the governors, the governments, Lord. Each and every one, Lord, that we all will receive grace that, Lord God, that we could be more effective in our position that you place us, Lord. We could be better Christians. Lord, men could be better men, Lord. Women could be better women, Lord Jesus. Children could be better children, Lord God. We can only be better people through your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Come into our hearts one more time tonight, Lord, and we not fail to give you all praise, all honor, and all glory, Lord Jesus. As we give thanks unto you in advance, Father, for we've seen the things that you have done for us in times past, Lord. And we come not doubting you tonight, Father, but with faith we'll receive your great Holy Spirit, Lord God. May the supernatural be real to us tonight, Father, that we live changed, Lord God. Have thine own way as we dedicate our lives and this service into your hands for your honor and your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing a song. Unto Jesus I surrender. Unto him I freely give. Amen.
Oh, to Jesus.
I will never trust. Surrender all. Close our eyes once again. Lord Jesus, Father, we sing from the depths of our hearts, Lord, knowing that, Father, only a surrendered heart is allowed your preeminence, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come with this attitude tonight, Father, giving all unto you, Lord Jesus. Father, even bring back our tithes and offerings, Father, bring back unto you so that you, Lord, could use it for the furtherance of your gospel, Father, knowing how many I need today, Father, to hear your word, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we bring it, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that you gave us the strength, Lord, and provided a just for us, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you will receive it tonight, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord, as we continue to commit ourselves into your hands, Father. You come, Lord, and be with us in a special way tonight, Father. pray and ask these things in the precious and loving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Amen. As well as go, let us continue singing this little song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow.
Amen. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Lift our hands and sing.
I am weak, I am take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. For there's a message coming forth. take my hand. Precious love, lead me home.
Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Amen. We want that dove to lead tonight. Amen. We'll just sing this little song. I just want a dove to lead the eagle tonight as we surrender unto Him.
Blessed be your wonderful name, Father. Lord. We just love you and praise you tonight. We give you honor and glory, O God. That we can come and gather in your divine presence tonight. Oh God, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Coming for a conference with you, Lord. Coming, oh God, for a rendezvous. Coming, Lord, and you will come down and meet with us. Oh God, and this time could be a time of consecration, Lord. Could be a time of sweet fellowship when we can receive supernatural instructions, supernatural faith. Oh God, to bring us into a closer walk with you in this hour. Oh great heavenly leader tonight, leader of eternal life. May you lead us and guide us in your word, Lord. May the spirit of truth, our guide, that great dove, lead us tonight, Father, into a greater faith than what we have, even as we stand here tonight in your presence. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. We come with that anticipation in our hearts. We come believing these things tonight. We come expecting you to do it for us, Lord. Oh, God, knowing you know what we have need of, and you are more than able. And you promise to supply every need, even according to your riches. Oh, gracious God, I pray you bring your people quickly. Bring them, oh God, under the divine influence of the Holy Spirit. Bring them in their heart in the channel of revelation. Oh God, where you can speak to us, Lord, that this would be a special time. Not just, oh God, some natural things, but Lord, take our soul into that place where we'll never be the same again. Lord, after this visitation, Lord, after you deal with us in a special way, oh God, strengthen us. Hallelujah. Like it was with Jacob when you met him, Lord. When you finished with him, he was walking different. He was talking different. He was a man, a prince with power before God now. Oh God, you change his nature, Lord. Hallelujah. We are looking for something like that. I pray, dear God, you'd meet our expectations. And I pray you'd grant us what we have need of. Oh, Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves unto you tonight. Lead us and guide us in this service. Get honor and glory. Speak to each and every heart in a special way, in an individual way, Lord. Oh, God, bring every heart and mind, bring every soul into that channel where our hearts be quiet. We can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, where our faith could rise within us. Oh, God, what we have need of could come right within reaching distance, that we can take a hold of it. Oh, God, let our faith bring us to this reality tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you would grant these things, Father. God, you see we're in a time of great need, and we're looking unto you. Oh, God, believing, Father, that you have the answer to the devil's question. Oh, God, that you are more than able to meet that need, and that you will do it for us. Knowing the design of our hearts is that we might serve you, that we might please you, that we might truly live for you and bring glory unto your name by our living in this hour, truly showing forth your victory and the reason of your death. Bless each and every one tonight in your divine presence. And may you get honor and glory. May you be the principal theme of this service. And Father, may your people be blessed and encouraged. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. Amen. God, would you bless you? It's in our Bibles. I'd like to read out of the book of Joshua. And to welcome everyone in this house tonight. Book of Joshua, chapter 8. For Joshua drew not his hand back, with which he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burned Ai and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Also a little portion in Joshua 10, verse 21. And all the people returned to the camp, to Joshua, to Makeda, in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet upon the neck of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the neck of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them from down from the trees and cast them into the cave in which they had hidden, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and its king he utterly destroyed. Them and all the souls that were in it, he let none remain, and he did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Let us pray again. We have a couple requests here. Prayers requested for Sister Polly Joseph, will be undergoing an operation for her spleen. Sister Anita Cunningham is requesting prayer that the Lord will console her after the death of her father today. Ronald Ryan is requesting prayer that the Lord will increase his faith to accept his healing from an eye problem and also his bladder. But Auntie Gloria is requesting prayer for his wife, who's warded at Mount Hope Hospital with high blood pressure, which can be detrimental to her unborn baby. So let's just pray for these. Almighty God, after reading these scriptures which we have read and seen, O God, Joshua, a type of the Holy Spirit in action, moving ahead of the children of Israel and fighting their battles for them, taking every enemy that stand before them and bringing it to become their footstool. Lord, we realize that that book of Joshua parallel Ephesians. There is to be another Ephesians at the end of this journey. There was at the end of the first two journeys, those first two exoduses. And dear God, to know that we are standing in the very same place today. And how much greater it is, because not just a natural symbol to us today, but the very substance of that shadow, the very reality of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, upon which every enemy was destroyed. And I pray, Lord, as I lay my hands upon these requests and see the desire and the request in the hearts of your children, believers walking in this light, I pray that the light of this glorious gospel would shine into their hearts. You drive out the spirit of fear and doubt. You would so energize their faith and bring it to the level where all that they have need of and is desiring, they would receive it according to your riches and glory. Believing, dear God, you want to give it unto them more than they could desire it. But, oh God, without faith it's impossible to please you. But you said, whatsoever we ask the Father, believing we have received those things that we ask for, we shall have them. And I pray it will be so, according to thy word, which thou hast written here, this unfailing words of promise. It's an absolute to us, Lord. We tie our soul to it. And especially, dear God, in this day, with a great commemoration day, Lord, when you broke that vision before the eyes of your prophet, you gave him the faith that he had need of. How he pleaded, how he begged and cried, and he longed to see that vision. Lord, bring the inspiration for his deliverance. I pray so to be today, that as we come, Lord, seeing our condition, seeing our need, but you give us examples, you give us channels of inspiration, that we could come there, God, and draw from, that we might be strengthened, that we might be fortified, that we will not have to bow down to the enemy, we could stand victorious and put our feet upon the neck of these kings, Father. I pray, dear God, that that vision will break before the eyes of your children tonight. Lord God, that faith will fall into their hearts. Only you can do it. But this is what we look to, the sovereign grace of the Almighty God, that you will furnish what we have need of, that we can walk out of this place rejoicing, thanking you and praising you, Lord, knowing that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh God, won't you do that for us, Father? May you grant these things, that your people might have the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask it for your honor and for your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you. May you have your seats. Amen. We're certainly thankful to be here tonight, and we're trying to get into the Word and utilize the time as best as we could, because we don't want to keep it too late. We're going to be having services after tonight, tomorrow night, and we wanted to start early because we're going to have the two services Sunday, and they're going to pray for the sick tomorrow, and that means that if we start early, then what would happen is that we would be able to get out early. Otherwise, sometimes you get in, you get a lot of people coming through the line and so on. You know, it could be lengthy sometimes. We don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to move, but we just trust in Him, anointing His Word, believing it, applying it with faith. Amen. Holding fast to all that He has spoken, expecting all that He has promised. And we know that God will not back away from a people with faith, a people with humility, a people under expectations, a people abiding in His Word. God will not back away. God will come to them always. Amen. We have seen that in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We have seen that down through 6,000 years of history of man upon the face of the earth. God is not going to change that tonight. Amen. And as I admonish you on Wednesday night, that we just want to come in the channel of faith. We don't just want to come with excitement. We don't want to get into emotion. We want to get into the Spirit. We want to get into the Word. Amen. And if our hearts could really be open up to the Word and let the Word come in. Amen. The prophet says, not your thought going to do it. Some people think it's a Christian science, positive thinking, mind over matter. That don't do it. But when the Word, God's spoken Word, comes down to the channel of your thought and drop down into your heart, the life is in that Word. And that Word is a seed, and it will bring forth after its kind if it could find the right type of ground in your heart. It will bring forth after its kind every time. When faith finds bedding ground, no circumstances would be considered. Amen. And you know, we look at what is happening at this time and seeing so many sick people, you know, going for operations and not seemingly to have the faith for divine healing. Many people who testified, and you know, you ask them, do you believe in divine healing? They would say, yes, I believe it. Do you believe you have faith for it? They would say, yes, I believe I have faith for it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? They would say, yes, I believe that. But it just seems that to stand there flat-footed and face the enemy, it just seems that there is something that sort of breaks up on the inside, and they just seem to go the way of reasoning. But God help me tonight that you could find that place under the Holy Spirit, and it could lead us, and we could take this Word and sort of drive this down into our hearts, that we could really be taught in the Scripture. And I just want to use this first night to lay some of the Word in, that maybe the Spirit will come upon that Word. You hold that Word in your heart. You praise God and you thank Him for it. You water it with prayer and faith. Then the Spirit will come upon that Word and give you a manifestation of it in your life. And we trust that it will be like that for all of you that is expecting, that is believing God to do something special for you. You have to crave it. You have to desire it. When God promises it, you have to believe it. You have to want it. You just can't say, well, if I get it, I get it. If I don't get it, I don't get it. No. You have to say, God said so.
then you have to know something about God. God don't lie. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. Then you have to know something about God's reputation. God keep all of his promises. Heaven will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of that word shall in any wise fail. That God have never failed yet. When anybody stand trusting God. Amen. And when you know these things about God, it help your faith. If you just say, well, you know, God says, so maybe I want to believe it, but then you don't, you don't meditate upon who he is, what he is, what he does. You don't get that seed water. You don't get it getting down on the inside. And if that is not there, then the fowl of the air will come and pick it out of your heart. Satan is going to come right there and pick that out of your heart like that, and then you sit right there and, you know, it's not real to you. Then, when he pick it out of your heart, he put a seed of discrepancy inside of there instead. He give you some reason. You hold to that one, then you try to go on and work with that. And then that is only going to bring forth the kind of life that is in that seed. And since they don't have God's own life in it, it's not going to take it to the supernatural. It's not going to take it to the manifestation of the promise. It's going to take you to the very life of that word. You're going to behave like it. You're going to behave like the one who spoke that. But if you receive God's word, you're going to behave like God who spoke his own word. Because in God's word, which is God's seed, is God's life. In your seed is your life. Amen. In a corn seed is corn life. Is that right? All life is in seed form. Whether it's botany life, animal life, human life, God's own life, all life comes in seed form. Even the devil's life comes in seed form too. And whatever seed you plant is going to bring forth after its kind. And that's why we want to know whose loins that seed is coming from. Amen. Because in the last days, the deception is the two will be so close. Is that right? The two spirits will be so close. Because you will have to know it by the teaching. Not by the manifestation, by the teaching. Because false anointed ones will do great signs and wonders too. But they will not bring forth God's own life. Amen. But when it's God's seed, friend, that is going to produce God's life. That is going to make you behave like him every time. Under every situation. Do you understand that? Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just his own life reproducing itself in you. Amen? So, you know, seeing what's happening and all these things, and then this season being a very special time for us as believers. And, you know, when God gives you experiences on certain things, you remember those things. It becomes junctions in your life. It becomes things that God have dealt with you according to. And when God have dealt with you with something, you have to go with what God trained you. When you're going to fight the enemy. Like David said, he said, I can't go with Saul armor. I don't know it. It might be good for a man who fight that way and train that way. I'm not against it. But the thing is, he said, God didn't train me with that. He said, God trained me with this. Amen. And though he might have looked more exposed the enemy, and that he was going, he looked like he had an easier chance of being defeated, that he wasn't fortified seemingly, yet he was better equipped, and he could function with greater faith when he functioned in that way. And you find that when he stood there, he went back to the things that God had dealt with him with, because that's a principle of faith always. When a man stands up and expecting something from God, and you have nothing really to base his faith on, it's difficult to really approach God and receive from God. Because he's trying to approach somebody that he don't know really. But when he knows something about God, when he has seen something about God in his own life, then there's a reason for him to behave that way and act that way, because he has seen those things in his own life before. And that's why instead of accepting another substitute or going using another method, he resorts to the thing that he has seen proven in his own life. All right. And when God does things in people's lives, when it's something real and really comes from God, it affects your life. It changes your life. It put a mark in your life. How many believe that? It does it. God don't deal with you supernaturally, and then you forget that, and then you're going to stand up to quote something and you can't remember what God deal with you, and you look back in your life and it's a blank page of history down there and you can't get no inspiration. No! Those marks, those things keep coming up before you inside of you all the time. There was places he wrote his laws in your hearts and in your minds. He engraved it inside of there that you can delight after the law in the inward man. Amen. You can delight after those things. You can look back in your life and see where God brought you to the reality of the law of faith. Amen. Where he proved that word in your life. And I think that the problem is in this hour is too much of a mental gospel and too much of mental faith. But when your mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation, the gates of hell could never, ever prevail against you. When a man built his house upon the rock, and a wise man built his house upon the rock, because he knows there's a storm coming. And when that storm comes, and that trial comes, they begin to shake and shake, and every man have that storm in his life as a believer. You have to go through, Job had to go through his storms. Abraham had to go through his storms. David had to go through his storms. But watch what held them in the time, what anchored the soul in the time of trial. They were building upon the rock of revelation. Amen. It wasn't a mental something. It was something real in the experience that nothing could move them away from it. Amen. And I am believing and I know and I'm persuaded that he is still the same. He has dealt with his people the same. And when those things become quickened and becomes real to them out of the scripture, then it produces the same behavior in them like it did in these hours. There is something about a man of God when faith strikes his heart. There is something about the Holy Ghost in a man's life when he hears people talking about the doctor saying, the doctor this and the doctor this. A man of God has got a righteous indignation inside of the air to draw that sword here and say, what about God then? Amen! A man of God standing there just cannot listen to that. That don't sound like music in his ear. That's an uncertain song. Like David said, you mean to say you're going to stop and let this man threaten day and night so? He said, how are you fellas listening to that? That don't get you all uncomfortable and make you, you know, want to draw your sword? He said, rather you are running and hiding. You see, those things affect a man of God. A man who has an experience in the presence of God. A man who knows that God is real. That's why I have to have these services. I have to preach these things. Why? It affected me. And I'm saying, no, that is not it. I remember that time when you go and build a church too, and this one started saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to bring some nail, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and all kind of ideas coming, and just something inside again, couldn't take that. I said, no, we don't have to go to no bank and all these kind of different things. We don't have to go in that kind of debt. God is more than able. And we're in the church tonight. We're having meetings in the church tonight. Amen. I think many times, you know, it's a fear to take the word and face the challenge, really. Too much of reasoning. And that's why I want to take for inspiration this first night. My absolute, the unfailing word of the seventh dove. And I'm taking like for a subject on wisdom, the voice of medical science, versus faith, the voice of the seventh dove. And my absolute, I'm tying my soul to what he has spoken. He is my absolute. We all have to have our absolute. And what we tie our soul to becomes our absolute. And if that could be shaken, you will shake with it. If that could fall, you will fall with it. Because what you tie your soul to, it depends on what's going to happen to that, is what's going to happen to you. So don't be disappointed when you tie your world, your life to something that is not eternal, that can be shaken. Because we are living in an hour where everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now. And only those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. and heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. So we have to tie our soul to something, because we're living in a time politics is falling apart and will completely fall apart. That's thus said the Lord. In the millennium, there will be no hospitals. That's thus said the Lord. That will fall apart and vanish too. Amen. And the faith to go to that faith civilization came through this message. It's in the hearts of the people, and it's pointing them to that faith civilization. They are journeying right there. That dove is taking them back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. Glory. So it depends on what you tie to, friend. You tie to education, let me tell you, it will have no schools and universities in that city. It will be passed away completely. Man's knowledge will fail and come to naught. Amen. All these businesses will pass away the same way. The rich men will howl and the money will conquer. Amen. Glory. It'll pass away. You can't tie your souls to those things. Amen. And if we are living the age of that transition, my friend, it's whether you believe the message, whether you heard the voice of those seven thunders, whether you've seen those seven trumpets, whether you've seen those seven vials, what they are speaking, whether you look around you and see this science civilization that is falling apart. This world is again falling apart. Satan Eden is crumbling. Life and death is in the final struggle right now. What are you tied to? Only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall never pass away. So the first thing we know about the word is that it is unfailing. It can't pass away. That's why he said it's his unfailing word of promise. Jesus declared his word is unfailing. If Jesus was just a man, if Jesus was just a good teacher, if Jesus was just a rabbi, if Jesus was just a Jewish scholar, then his word don't mean nothing. But if the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus, and he was none other than the omnipotent God in human flesh, you see what it is? Do you understand? It comes back to your revelation of who the word is. It comes back to your conviction. Is he God or not? That's what it comes back to. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? It comes back to that. That has nothing to do whether you're in Third Exodus Assembly. That has nothing to do with you're baptized in the message. That has nothing to do with those things. It comes down to when the trial comes. Who it is you're serving. Who it is you are believing. Who he really is. What does your heart witness about him? Amen. It's a challenging thing. Amen. So my absolute, the unfailing word of the seventh dove, I believe that dove is the Holy Spirit. We went through many of these things. I don't want to take time, and I want to do this a little different this time, as I feel God will give me a little inspiration in relation to the things in the assembly here. And this meeting is just to really pull us where we're drifting. Pull us where we get lost somewhere in our own life and our own experience, our own journey. Where you find your water begin to dry up. And you're walking by sight now. You're walking, you're thirsting. And you begin to get hallucinations and mirage and different things. And you're wondering whether God will keep his promise in your life. Amen. It seems like there's a strong barrier, all them voices around you. This one saying that sounds good. This one saying that sounds good. This one saying that. You just can't seem to tie somewhere where you can really anchor. See? And in the message here on Houston, Phoenix rather, 1963 on the Absolute, he says, and what the Christian needs today in this atomic age and this time of uncertainty, you need something besides just an experience of joining church. In this time of uncertainty, you need something just besides joining church. You need an anchor, an absolute that you know, because churches will fail. And people will fail. But Christ cannot fail. He's the absolute to the believer. And if Christ is your absolute, you are tied to him. And if he's your absolute and you are tied to him, then you are tied to the word. Amen? And now this tells whether we got the right absolute or not. See? If you can read in the scriptures something that Christ has ordained or commissioned us to do, and because of some twisting around, if someone would tell you that was for the disciples or someone else, and then you don't hold on to that, then Christ is not your absolute. If Christ tells you, I'm the Lord who healed all the diseases, and you would hold to that, then Christ is not your absolute. If a man tells you, don't be foolish, you're going to die, and you have to put aside the word of God and take this man's word, then that man becomes your absolute. And since healing and salvation is in the same atonement, then if you're putting your faith in that man for healing, you have to put your faith in that man for salvation also. Now this thing meant deception is so powerful that some people think, well, no, I'm not really deceived. I'm not really looking for that man for salvation. I'm just looking for him for healing. I know God, only God can save. I don't know man can save. How do you know God can save? God has to prove he can heal before he can save. Because healing is only a minor. It's an earnest of salvation. And if you're sure God can heal you, how sure God save you? And the same, if the faith to say you have saved you, how that faith can bring healing to you? When that faith is supposed to bring salvation to you. Then, if that is so, are you really saved then? Or are you under the influence of powerful preaching? The prophet says people go to a revival. Powerful preachers get up and preach with such power that people get under the spell of a revival and accept what they're saying. He said, but that is exactly what Jesus said. A man threw the net into the sea and he pulled in turtle, crabs, lizards, everything. They come in the net because of the man with the net throwing that net out. But there's still a turtle, there's still a crab, there's still a lizard. Is it a lizard get caught in the net? Because the power when that man throw that net out there and pull it in. But finally something is going to come and that lizard is going to wiggle right back out. That crab is going to wiggle right back out. That turtle is going to wiggle right back out. Amen. That's why we want to anchor these things, friend. I don't want to hurt you. But if the word shakes you a little bit, then it's good to shake some make-belief out, amen, and bring us into something real. Amen. And I think that's a good place to start tonight. Let's see what we tie to if you're coming for healing. What are we tied to? Amen. Glory. Because on this day, September the 20th, is where the prophet had seen a vision that he longed to see all his life. And the reason he just seemed to be beaten and battered and bruised so much for that healing is because he didn't really have the inspiration to take a hold of it. And if only I could see the vision, like Job, he just couldn't get no inspiration. But Job knew if I could only see the vision,
Because that vision was going, or the channel was going to bring you faith. If you could see God speaking back to him, telling him his finish is over, that would settle it. He said, but I was seeing all kind of visions. I was seeing visions of people. I was seeing visions of myself doing other things. But that particular thing I wanted to see to settle, I couldn't seem to get that. And you can't pull it out of God. It was the grace of God to bring that special thing to the air. But the thing is, when you can stand here knowing that God loves you, and knowing that you are justified, knowing you stand in the air, identify with your sacrifice, then nothing could really move you from that. Satan might batter you and bruise you, but you're going to stand here knowing God is faithful. Because God knows you can't go into healing except you drop that faith in your heart. You can't struggle into it. You can't emotionalize yourself into it. God has to give you the faith to lift your spirit up to that place. You can take it. But until God sends that, he's watching you many times. He's trying you upon his word to see where you're going to stand with that word. Amen. So he says, depending on where you're tied to, if you can read the scripture, something that Christ has ordained, commissioned us, see? And then you don't hold to that, then Christ is not your absolute. But if the word Christ still holds, then he is your absolute. We mustn't let anything stir us out of the way of the word. Amen. Then page 40 here, he's talking about John the Baptist. He said, John said, standing there preaching, you know John, he went out there, looking all through his ministry to see that dove, preaching. Because he was told, upon the one whom you see, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining. That is the one. So John was preaching. He didn't know who it was. The word had to be revealed to John by the Spirit. You get that? Jesus was the word. But John, as a man, couldn't know the word except the Spirit don't reveal it to him. The Holy Ghost is the divine reveal of the word. It took the Holy Ghost coming from heaven. It took the Spirit of God identifying, revealing to John in the midst of so many people here that this man, this is the word here. The Spirit will come and anoint that word. And that prophet preaching. And he holds that in his heart because he met God. God had trained him for his ministry. God had dealt with him. God had brought him up from a little boy 9 years old in the wilderness. God had teach him looking at snake. And saying that snake is like some people, they're subtle, they're shrewd. They when they bite you, they could kill you. They could hide and camouflage themselves. They could run the grass and you can't even find them. They could slither away real good. They could creep up on you real easy. And John said, I see them. From the time he walked out the wilderness and started in the ministry, and he saw people coming around. Beautiful, nice, well-dressed, polished, refined. The first thing stuck in John's mind. He said, look at him right there with the poison fangs, with the poison doctrine. Look at him right there, snakes in the grass. He saw some people dry, dead, no life. See? He said, he asks us later the roots of these things, man. He said, this is make a good fire. When I'm not going to fire, he's going for no green tree that can't burn. He's looking for these old dry, dead sticks here. Dry up, amen. He said, and when he's swinging the axe and them things, he's swinging mercilessly. Chop it down, amen. And after he chop it down into the fire. And he come out and see all them dry spirits, parched. No life in them. Dead. He had a leaf on them. Can't fellowship. He had no bark on them. He had no sense of doctrine, nothing at all, amen. No life, no fruit in them. For the time he saw them there, but he had swing the axe in them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Straight into the fire. Glory. He looked there. God was training him. And then by the time he came there, that same voice who was giving him those revelations, tell him, he says, no, you have a ministry. You have a certain work to do. Give him the scriptures for you. That he could identify himself in the scriptures. He had the whole Bible to read. But he knows promises to pick out for his age. Hallelujah. You understand that? Amen. Amen. And he was preaching. Not just all over the place. He was preaching down a channel. There's one standing among you. The time is going to come, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Amen. He can baptize it. He can build his message to a certain spot where it's going to climax. Amen. He didn't come to start no denomination. He come to close up an age and open up a new age. He come to introduce the word to the people. Amen. He knew where he was standing. And John preaching, knowing. He was Elijah at the end of the Old Testament. Looking for his message. He was the eagle. Jesus was the lamb. Amen. And the eagle needed the dove to reveal the lamb to him. Amen. And the dove came and confirmed the eagle message. Got the eagle message with the lamb. And then he stood there and he saw him coming up. He saw the spirit coming. Coming to vindicate his message. Coming to point out his inspiration was correct. Because he was preaching for something to happen. And he saw what he was preaching start to be manifested. He said there will be one coming. He said he'll be mighty. He'll be baptized with fire. There's to be one who I'm to introduce. It was all just thoughts. But one day actually said, I see the man. One day actually said, I see the dove. It was no longer thoughts then. It was a manifested word. It showed his inspiration was correct. Because God was moving and doing those things. Only God can bring Christ here. Only God can bring that dove here. So wherever the man was getting that information from, it had to be the one who could bring it to pass afterwards. Where are you getting your information from tonight? Amen. Where does yours come from? What source? Is it an authentic source? Is it a vindicated source? We're going to get on into this. Some people, they go there, a man open up a medical journal, preach them out of that. Anoint the spirit. Pull them away from the word of God. To me, they're falling away from the faith. To me, it is a form of apostasy. Because he's a preacher, he's a voice. And he's going back to a book for his information. And his book is not vindicated. His book is not the inspired word of God. And he's planting seeds inside the mind, into the womb. And then they're coming under the control of that influence. And that's an influence that takes them away from the word of God. And the word of God is inspired, is divine. I know that's going to make a lot of people feel funny. And I know a lot of people are going to feel that I'm going off on a limb. But when I give the scriptures, if I'm on a limb, and I'm a limb. Because I'm giving the scriptures. At least I'm seeing what I'm talking about. I hope you've seen what you're talking about. Amen. Nothing against that. That has its place. But that's in our voice. That has its place, but that's in our absolute. You don't want to tie from an absolute, tie to something that's not an absolute. That's what I'm saying. Wisdom versus faith. What wisdom? That voice of medical science. Who's reflecting that voice? Who is speaking on that medical journal? They have a sign too. You know they have a sign? The sign is the serpent on the tree. And the pole. We have a book and we have the same sign. Is that right? Sure. Now let's hear the voice now. What is that voice saying? Or what is this voice saying? Amen. So you see where I'm coming? You see where I'm coming? My absolute, that unfailing word. If he says it, that's good enough for me. Don't even tell me how it's going to happen. I don't even want to know. He can bring the pass however he wants. Because I know once he said it, it must come to pass. Let me to figure out how he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen. But wisdom always tries to present itself as a higher knowledge. Wisdom always going to come and try to take away from the word, what the word says. So I have to kind of make the word look fanatical and outdated and not relevant to the present situation in order to exalt itself. In order to establish itself. many of you walk in the doctor's office and say, well, I'm a Christian, you don't want to trust God? You don't want to trust God? Does that buff you up? Does that humiliate you? See? Let me tell you, you had the faith of Abraham. Abraham would have walked out of the office. Abraham would have laughed in his face. Abraham wouldn't have get nobody to explain away what God tell him. Because every time he said different than what God say, it don't take much revelation to know that's another spirit. That's anti-word spirit. And it shows how easy some people can be talked out of what they believe. They don't even know the man. They don't even know the man's background. They don't even know the man where he's correct. They don't even know where the man gets his information from. They don't even know if the man source of information is authentic and infallible. And they get talked out to it right away. In 2 minutes, because you have time for them. Somebody else coming. You're right. He forces them to a situation. Come on, right now. I don't have time. Sign this or do the other or get out. And they get all fearful. And they get all bound up. And these people who understand and have a spoken word ministry. These people who understand and talk about faith to be changed. Let me tell you, these people are bluffing themselves. If you don't have the willingness to die for what you believe, then you're not even sure what you believe. Sure. Saying we believe is not just repeating some words. God looked at Abraham and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Because God saw down the bottom of the man's heart, he really believed. And then man began to see the works in the man to know that that man had really believed. It's strange today that, you know, we see these things and yet we can't discern really what is happening. And because of that lack of discernment, many are perishing. They don't have discernment. They live in a realm of reason and wisdom. And then eventually, all the supernatural ends up in the past. God was in the life. Because we end up being bluffing. Then when they can't face that thing, when the God in them who did those things in the past that they try to brag about, don't do the same things in the present, then it makes you question whether that was God in the past that they're talking about. Listen to me. If the Bible says God healed back there and you don't do it today, then you have to question whether you really healed back there. No? And if a man says God did this in his life and God is in his life and God is in his life back there, and then that same God back in not doing something for him, you don't really question whether God did that in the man's life. Because let me tell you, that God who did that in the past for you would be the same and be able to do the same for you in the present here. Now it's all right if God challenges our faith. If we have good gold, we don't dread going to the testing machine. Amen? And we here to shake a little bit. I really want the world to shake. I want unbelief to be shaken off. There's too much a polish up unbelief. Inside this church, the spirit of unbelief moving from one to the next. It's jumping on people, one to the next. And as fast as they jump on another one, the behavior is just like the one who was upon before them. Sure, it's the spirit of unbelief in the church. I pray that God casts it out in these services. And I pray that where we might be drifting away somewhere and walking after some imagination, the spirit of God get us and draw us back and tie us back to the word and anchor us. That we can never be shaken off. So look at John. John was looking for absolute. He's absolutely seen a dove coming down from heaven and a voice. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else heard it. But he saw it. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on. He is the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the divine vindication of God making it so. It was an absolute. There was no question to John's mind. There it was. Just exactly what God said would take place. There it was. So the dove upon the ordinary man was John's absolute. He knew it was the truth. That was John absolute. John saw the dove coming down on the lamb. John alone saw it. It was revealed to John. That was his absolute. He tied to that vision. That vision was the prophet absolute right there. Amen. Then page 42, same message. He said, what is it? That same light, that same voice that spoke and said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. It's the same voice to me. It's the same pillar of fire was back yonder. Because it's doing the same works. Jesus said, I come from God and I go to God. A little while the world sees me no more. See, when he was here on earth at the feast, he said, I am that I am. He said, there he was. What was it? That light, that fire, that God, that spirit. God is a burning fire. He's a light. See, manifested in Jesus Christ. A return when Jesus rose up from the grave. But on the day he met Paul coming from Damascus, he turned back to God again. For he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Brethren, don't be asleep. He said, do you see that same God among us right now, proving himself that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever? That's my absolute. Here, Brother Bram too saying, he's saying, that is my absolute. That pillar of fire that I see, the one that John saw, which is John absolute, in that vision, he said, that's my absolute too. John saw a dove coming on. That was his absolute. Malachi 4, the same pillar of fire that came to Paul, because that same one that came on Jesus was the one that came in the upper room. Was the same one that came on the road to Damascus. Is that right? Yeah. Was the same one photographed in Houston, Texas. Yeah. I'll go even further. So the same one in San Salvador, photographed there too. Yeah. I'll go even further. Say the same one that is here tonight. Yeah. Saying, take this word and drive those things out of this church. Amen. Glory be to God. I remember back there, I preached my absolute, still tied to my absolute, and I'm still saying my absolute tonight. Regardless of what come what may, I don't have no other absolute, the same absolute. It's my absolute, I'm still tied to it, and his unfailing word is still my absolute tonight. His voice. I'm not listening to the voice of medical science, I'm listening to the voice of the seventh dove. Medical science says, it's impossible for you to get well, you'll never be out of it. Amen. You'll always have it all in life. And that voice says, your enemy is dead. Yes. Hallelujah. Which one will you believe? He said, I consider not what the doctors tell me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tie my soul to what that dove is saying. What that voice is saying. Amen. That's my absolute tonight. Glory. Here's what medical science says. Here's what the seven dove said. And here's what he said. He says, I see the Abraham, I consider not what they tell me. I'm tying my soul here. Amen? All right, now, you see, I cannot bring that up in front because I want to see where I'm going. I want to see where I'm heading. What are you listening to? I've heard the voice of the seventh dove, and I've seen the enemy dead. I've seen it. Don't tell me no. I've been the Calvary friend. Except a corn is falling ground and die, it abide alone. I had my birth right here. At the cross. Where I first saw the light in Santa Cruz. At Holy Cross. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And 17 years after, I'm still happy every day. Amen! Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! Glory! What is happening? See, it's something, what you believe. I've heard that voice. He heard the voice. And he saw the enemy dead. And the voice was exactly in accordance with what he saw. Joseph heard, but now I see. Amen. You heard it, and you've seen it. Look at Moses. Those children of Israel, they heard Moses. They heard that voice of God speaking to his prophet. Look and live. And they seen that brass serpent on that pole. Look at Joshua. They heard Joshua, the Holy Spirit. He's that dove, the Holy Spirit. He's the leader. Amen. Glory. He's the one bringing us into our inheritance. Amen. They heard him say, so shall the Lord do to all your enemies. And they seen them on the tree hanging. Amen. They heard it and they seen it. So I'm saying, what have you heard and what have you seen? Let's dig into that now. Let's dig a little deeper into that. Amen. What have you heard and what have you seen? My. Because you see, when you look and you want to know, what are people looking at? You see people going back on the testimony. People being bluffed out. People being untied. Amen. Now, it brings a question to your heart. Because you want to know, what are they looking at that is giving them such confidence and assurance in medical science? Like they found a new religion almost. Like the message didn't bring the satisfaction. So they found a new religion. They found a new way. They found a new voice that they can put the confidence and assurance in. It has to be some confidence. Because, I mean, I had the clippings to read to you of all what they're saying, what's happening right now. The chaos in the country. The disaster of the nurses and all fasting. They have a consecration. They're looking to the serpent and the pole. They want to hear a voice. They want a financial voice to speak to them. Sure. Look at the pathologists in San Fernando. But it just challenges reputation, challenges diagnosis. See? And then everything's going to spill out. God does not force the issue. It's going to come out. He says, I do the post-mortems. He said, I see a bunch of them die with negligence. He said, them doctors are telling me I see much a bad diagnosis. I see much negligence. He said, some people are dead until the causes for it. Why didn't it come out all the time? Why was he walking around with a good face, like everything is so pure and clean and even challenging the word of God? Shouldn't it be a noble profession in such an institution you can have faith and confidence in? Because one little man repetition shall I get hurt. Because little image shall I get tainted. It's unself. Now watch. On the other side of the place, closed down, no medicine, nothing. In point, all along the deep south there, where they talk about this born, this girl who died, shut and sent back to my home, had internal injuries, die on their hands. Next girl die right there, lies going like that. And then you're seeing people untied from the word and going into that. They talk about mosquito all inside the operating theater too now. So it has to be something that after they've seen all this, they still have confidence. After they see the hypocrisy and the lies behind, after they see the political cover-ups, they don't want to try to come to a greater faith. They don't want to be at a higher level. So it makes you think, what are they looking at that gives them such confidence and assurance? Because you're going to go there and put your life in a man's hand. You don't know if you're drunk, you don't know if you have domestic problems, you don't even know if the man nervous, you don't know if the man trying to hold on to a job. You don't know if the man have the ability to concentrate on what he's doing. What is the sign? What is the voice? What are you looking at? Because it has to be something to speak peace to the heart. When a person can commit themselves, when a person can submit themselves, when a person can be spoken to and surrender and come under the influence of that, isn't that what God trying to get the church to do? Amen. And if the church is hard to do it, then the church is looking at God's word, hearing God's voice, and not seem to be able to find peace and assurance. And God is taking years and years still trying to get them to surrender. Yet they can walk in for 5 minutes and be told somebody put in a situation and they surrender right here. What is it really? In the voice of the doctors. What is the saying? What is the preaching that's so powerful? That's causing people to look away from the voice of the archangel to the voice of medical science. What is so attractive? What kind of guarantee that voice is giving them? What promise they're making them? What are they really offering them? Your troubles are ended. I'll just cut this out in 5 minutes. Simple, because I'm such an expert in the field. I have such a knowledge of the book. I so know your sickness and your history. I can just look at you, and I know if I take in a theater right away, let's cut that out, and you'll be back on your road to recovery. What it is that they could preach so powerful? What promise they giving them? What is the guarantee? When I see that they're going that route, it tells me that has faith really found its bedding ground? Because I'll have to make the word lie when I see people consider circumstances, when I see them considering the symptoms, when I see their faith being paralyzed by what they see with their eye. I'll have to make the word lie to say, yes, faith has found its bedding ground. You'll have to face it and say, no, faith has not found its bedding ground. They are trying to work on a mental faith. That's not a spiritual revelation. So when the gates of hell start to come against it, it's going to shake them down. Another question arises. Is the word of God unfailing? Is God guilty of a breach of promise? Why are these people going to be so influenced? Why are they able to recant? It seems so easy they could recant. After they nail the teeth on the doctor, they drag them the stake in a service. They pull it out afterwards. And now they join another party. You said something is wrong. They pledge their allegiance somewhere else. They see a man there lifting up the brazen pole. And maybe they see the sign and they say, well, praise God, that's the sign. Like Moses had that. People was healed under Moses and he from that sign. But maybe not listening to the voice. Because the word of God is a true absolute. Or not. Or it's medical science. The inspired word of God. Is the medical journal the inspired word of God? That the man says, I'll tell you exactly what you have. According to the medical journal here, penned this little portion by one of our prophets back there in the 18th century. And we have his own words from his discovery right here. And he says, you have this and that and that. He says, and over here, since it's been updated, and the last recorder we have that, you know, if we do this, this, and this, then your case is solved. And I put, well, if that is so, I want that. Have they been convinced that that book is the inspired word of God? He said, look at George Washington. They bleed him a pint of blood and pull out a toenail for pneumonia. He said, you think medical science would refer back to that? Look at the French scientist. He said, you drive a vehicle 30 miles an hour, it will take off the face of it. You see, I think they will refer back to that. You see, look at the Bible here. Over 66 books. Over 40 different writers, living over 1,500 years. No to collaborate in the writings. Yet when they dovetail it, it's a perfect revelation. You see, I didn't spare the word of God. Look at the prophecy so accurate for thousands and thousands of years. Yet coming to pass precisely exactly the way it's spoken. Where are you getting your information from? Moses was getting his information from the pillar of fire. Balaam was getting his own from Balak. Where your pastor get his information from? Out of the message? Is that the vindicated word of God? Out of the Bible? Is that the inspired word of God? Where your doctor get it from? From the same place? Now watch. Now, you see, the devil has messed up a lot of people's faith. Because every time they've been explained away and brought away from the Word of God, it begin to... He have succeeded in making them deny the things that they call God, not God. And once that is destroyed, they have nothing that they can call God with assurance in their life anymore. Do you realize that, friend? Because remember, you don't literally see God in a pillar of fire coming talking to you, you know. It's what comes to your mind. What is presented to you in the Word of God by revelation. Because unless you see visions. Unless the Word of God is coming to you direct by visions. It comes to you by revelation through a channel of thought. Then the devil could mess up that channel and defile your bedding ground. That the things you call God, you can't call it God no more. Then what are you going to start to call God now? People don't realize what it is. And that is why their life is unstable. And that is when a challenge comes, they cracks up. Because when they're making that decision, it seems like it's not relevant to the rest of the spiritual life. It's just something they're doing here to get over with it. But if that is the devil there, deceiving you and taking you away from the Word of God and tying you with something else, that could fail. Then what is your position going to be? So is the Word of God a true absolute or not? Or is the medical generally inspired Word of God? My confession is the Word of God is a true absolute. And the medical journal is not the inspired Word of God. You cannot place faith as your absolute. Show him again information again. Journal of the Quran. I got written on the Quran too. Because they cried on the Quran and written on the medical journal. They cried on the Guardian and the Express. Take all that too, because all of them are inspired. And if it's inspired, it all comes from the same source. For nothing uninspired comes from God. Could anything uninspired come from God? No. All right now. So watch. So if a man then is basing his faith, is getting assurance and peace and confidence, he seems to get a faith, he's going to work out all right. When the ministers who preach from the medical journal begin to preach the promise, begin to believe the authors, begin to preach the gospel, begin to show the man a way of deliverance. Because remember, if it's a word being spoken to you, it has to come through the same channel like the other word. Is that right? You're a human being, you make up in body, spirit, and soul, you have to hear it first. You have to believe the doctor what he's talking about. You have to believe he's getting his facts from somewhere. What he caught in his facts and not just any thought comes to his mind. You have to believe the man has been taught and he's a student of the profession. He dedicated his life to it and he believes and practices what he learns as an authority. What he learns from as his authority. Is that right? And when he speaks it to you as your way of deliverance, you have to receive it. You have to recognize the truth. You have to believe it and act upon it and submit yourself to it. Isn't that so? Does the Word of God come another way? Then if something uninspired will come to the same channel, why don't you take the inspired thing? Like the woman says, save God and heal me with the uninspired word. How much more he will heal me with the inspired word? It sounds like a little story the prophet told, but you're saying something. Wisdom versus faith. The voice of medical science versus the voice of the seven dove. We're standing in the middle. Choose this day. Why hurt you between two opinions? Take it from the great physician and his medical journal, or take it from the other physician? It's only like the church falling apart. What are their profession? Standing? Amen. Now watch.
Because a man is basing his faith and relying upon the information from that medical journal above the inspired word. He started believing Mark 16. He started believing John 14, 12. He started believing St. Mark 11, 23. And then he begins to back down. He thinks that that's not going to work. So he begins to take what has been preached to him out of the medical journal. Then if he begins to accept that as the way, the truth, to bring him back to life, then he would have to look for it for salvation also. Exactly. You see, that's why the background is in your mind, you know. And people don't understand that. Because I'm trying to prove to you here now how much people is really walking by a revelation. How much people really is conscious that when you're taking a seed, when you listen to a voice, when you come under the influence of that voice, when you go to acting upon what that voice say, when you come in a union with that word, regardless of which side is on, wisdom or faith, that's the way you have to go. So are we becoming converts of another message being preached by voices of science? Is it a falling away from the faith? A kind of apostasy setting in? What is different to when a man come and explain you and say, no, salvation is not this way. You'd rather get baptized in my Lord Jesus Christ. You could get water sprinkled in you. What if a man take that thought and go with it that way? Would that make it wrong? It would. Why everybody get quiet to me like that? Am I saying something wrong? All right now. Then when somebody come and take the healing promise and deal with it different, and you go with it, isn't it not like the same like when somebody misrepresent the salvation promise and you go with it? It's the same thing! It's the very same thing. You see, I know it's hurting some of you. But it causes a shake yourself and pinch your conscience and examine your life under the word to see if what you have is genuine. Or is a peacock feather stuck inside of there? Is that why homes falling apart? Is that why people backsliding now? Is that why marriage is cracking up? Because they're going along all the time thinking that the Holy Ghost, thinking those on the word. And when the trial come and the storm come, the right, the word's not on the word. And what they have cannot face the challenge. They come into a rude awakening. And let me tell you, many of those things that manifesting now is things that people never put the sword on, never kill, allow to grow, try to evade the word, thinking they will never come into a position where they have to face it. Only to realize that they deceive themselves, because when they didn't obey the word, Satan sure was taken into the destruction. But now many of them coming to recognize it. Exactly. It's not no new thing happening to them. All those things happen to people because they had seeds inside of them responding to those things all along. How can people come in adultery? The word never preached on adultery? How can people go and sin? The word never talk about that? How do they backslide? They would never talk about backsliding. They heard it, they know it. Even the things that cause it. So it's not a new thing. It's not a foreign thing. It's not a thing that they never hear or never knew about. And some strange thing that's why they were disarmed, because they never had the right kind of defense for it. It was people who never obeyed the word. Exactly. Exactly right. It's a kind of falling away from the faith. It's a kind of apostasy setting in. They are becoming converts to another voice, another message. Going, this message don't have that. This voice that spoke didn't speak. This voice that spoke said, your enemy is dead. This voice that spoke said, I'm the Lord who healed you of all thy diseases. Yeah. This voice that spoke said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And great is he in you that he is in the world. Yeah. Don't let the word of God make you uncomfortable. The word of God should make you happy. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. How you want God to do something for you, and when God is speaking the word, they're trying to show you where you make a mistake in your error, and then you're trying to back up and squeeze out the word? How you expect God to heal you? How you expect God to heal you? Amen. Amen. When you're walking the fold and you're leaning on your own understanding, and then God wants to show, look what you're doing there. Look the way you're acting there. Look how you're treating the word. Look how you're being seduced and don't realize you're being seduced. Because of a medical voice, because it looks scientific, because it looks like it. Know what he's talking about? You think the devil is coming, when he's trying to get you from the word, he is talking a voice that it is sound like he knows what he's talking about? It is convincing. We have the answer. We know what it is. We can do it. We have the power. We have the experience. We have been trained. We are experts. Is it self the preaching? And inside of there, they laugh at you. And they laugh at your religion. And they laugh at your stand. And many people submit themselves to that voice that laughing at the religion, laughing at the faith, denying the God. And yet they're saying, it's God's will for me to go there because I believe this is the way God wants to do it. And I think God was kind of showing me how to pass this way. And they're lost in the woods and they're trying to bluff themselves in that loss. I am dealing with a spirit that is making people deny their inheritance. I'm not a personality tonight, friend. No, forget it. I need to be at the altar repenting if I'm trying to ridicule some person inside of here. But when a man stands here and plants seeds over these years, and you look and you see things come, you know that in the crop. You know you never plant them seeds. Where them seeds come from? There's somebody trying to root up them seeds. When you see people that profess that they receive them seeds, and you are the life, you know they never really received them seeds. No, they had an abortion of them seeds. Look right now in the papers today, they're calling for a medical place for abortion too. He had a voice. He had a voice. That's a voice. I'm saying this message is timely tonight. Because I'm trying to bring it to you down to the line of the word for you to see what you do when you do those things. When you do those things, look, these are the things you take into consideration. It is no different to the word. It's the same principle. Two people speaking two promises, it coming into your mind, into your heart, begin to live out through a life. You have to come in submission to it. You have to come under the headship of the word being spoken unto you. You have to submit and yield yourself to it. Exactly. And for you to obey it, you have to have confidence in it. It must guarantee you some form of assurance and peace for you to deal with your mind battles, to submit yourself to it. You don't walk into it like you don't know what you're doing. See, now watch. So looking at the end of all this, it seems, when I look around and see what's happening, I say, no. Like I could hear in the background somewhere the voice of the enemy breathing out threats through the voice of medical science, exalting himself above the word of God. I get another one. I get another one all you. I get another one all you. You're standing there preaching, you're wasting your time. You're talking about rapture and faith, you're wasting your time. You're going to get another one all you. I have too much of royal blood in me to take that. I can't turn my eye from that. No. If I die in the morning, let me stand fast holding the profession of my faith wavering. Let me declare what I believe is true from God's word. Because I'm talking about a word that is going to bring a faith civilization. Not just a change in your body, we're going to change this whole system of this world. We're going to bring a city from heaven here. I'm talking about that word. I believe we have that word in our hands. I believe this seventh seal goes all the way back into eternity, ushers in the millennium, bring the new city. I believe that heavenly angel, that seventh one that meant more than all the rest. I believe he's that same dove. He's that same Holy Spirit. I believe he's the same dove that come on Jesus at the Jordan River. I believe it was Revelation 10:1 coming to be there in the body, the corporal body. I believe he is my absolute. When he cried a loud voice and seven tongues of other voices, I'm tied to his word. Sure. See, it's too much for me. In this household, I desire to hear people say, our God is more than able to deliver us. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. See, I desire to see the Holy Spirit in these services bring another charge of faith. Amen. Tonight, maybe it might be some surgery taking place. Maybe I'm putting a knife and cropping all the abscess and all the tumors and different kinds of things out here. Amen. Yes, sir. See. Let me tell you what you watch. You watch people fall into sin. The chain of their life was broken to begin with when they fall into sin. Or live sinful. And then they start to reap what they sow. And then they start to reap those things. They want the easy way out. Because their life starts perverted. Their life is deformed already. Because that sacred line was broken. So it just can't seem to pull from God because it gets hybrid and already have another strain in it that's guided to reasoning. It's not pure life. It's not pedigree life. It's not thoroughbred life. So they go along with a patch of life. The wiggle in here, the wiggle in here, the wiggle in here, the wiggle in here. It's just a mixture of everything. It's not a life that's going to bring forth the word. You're going to bring forth the promises. You're going to bring... Because what type of womb is that seed falling into? If it falls in the wrong womb, it will bring a perverted promise. Though as Abraham's seed fall in Hagar, it brought a perverted promise. Sure. It depends what kind of womb is falling into. See? So we want to see, because there is many things here that we want to really, really nail down. So look at that. He said, what are you tied to, friend? What are you really tied to tonight? We got to be tied to something this hour that cannot fail. The time of uncertainty, everything is being shaken. And remember, when you put in your faith, if you say do it sanely, just think of what you're doing. Just think of what you're doing. And you will see how with the same faith and the same submission and the same thing, you put that to the real word of God. Wouldn't it bring forth? Because the word of God have God life in it. The word of a man have a man life in it. Amen. Books is Kid Express. Look, so John's vision was what? He's absolute. John had a vision of that dove coming. Like we tonight. But Abraham says, he said, I beg, I pleaded, I cried. He said, if only I could have seen that vision. He said, but I couldn't see that vision. He can't make himself see it. He can't make himself get a revelation. But the thing was that if what experience I have with God already and know of him in a measure, I know what he is and see what he is. Then I can use that to stand here until God give me inspiration for this particular situation. Because I know he's faithful. I know he's true. I know he don't give false promises. I know he doesn't lie. I know he will never turn down true faith in his word. Sure. Because when you start to subconsciously doubt those things, or you don't have the patience to wait upon him, then, do you have real faith? If you don't have real patience, let me tell you, you don't have real faith. God help me.
have some things I want to preach later on to bring it back on life and death. We took it some years ago on them two wombs to show you what life is and what death is. Death is just life perverted. That's all it is. What kind of life you bringing forth in this hour? If that life you bringing forth in this hour can't blend with this word and can't say amen to all this word, and amen don't just mean saying amen. Because if it's a true word of God, heaven will pass when that can't fail. Then you tie your soul to it. And if you can't say amen to every word, then do you have the Holy Ghost? With the Holy Ghost, and you deny the word the Holy Ghost, right? Now, I know sometimes you don't have faith. Well, that's the problem, sincerity. When you don't realize you don't have the faith, you say, Lord, increase our faith. You say, Lord, help my unbelief. The problem is people don't have faith, but they're trying to bluff that they have faith, go along like they have faith. When if all along, you just humble yourself to the word and say, let me humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Lord, help my unbelief. Increase my faith, Lord. Lift my faith to the level. Give me the faith that can't be hybrid. Faith like a grain of mustard seed. A little faith that can't be hybrid. That is the kind of faith that overcomes the world. That is the kind of faith that brings the victory. The one that can't be hybrid. When you have a faith that could be hybrided, then something is wrong. That is not the real one. That is not mustard seed faith. You had a mental faith. That could always be hybrided. Listen, works is Phoenix Press. I'm trying to bring it into talk. I pray we get close tonight. I don't want to keep you late. Now watch. John's vision was that dove. He said, that's my absolute. That same pillar of fire coming back. I'm seeing that same pillar of fire is here. And we may not see a vision. You're going to see a vision, but I want to prove to you that the word is going to be a vision. That's what I'm trying to build to. And if that word could break before you tonight, that if God was gracious 26 years ago to give this prophet up in the Catalina Mountains, when he was at his home at the foot of the Catalina Mountains, 5 o'clock in the morning, he woke up and he saw the vision. He had longed to see that vision. That vision brought the faith. He went in the mountain and he saw the manifestation of the vision. He left that mountain with assurance. He left that mountain, it was finished in his heart. And I was praying to him, I said, Lord, that when the people leave this service tonight, that they could leave this service with the same kind of assurance that the prophet left when he left the mountain. That if by the word, they could look and they could see by the word. Like the children of Israel under Moses, look, and they saw it on the pole. They saw the enemy destroyed in the pole. They saw it judged. They saw its power broken. It was lifted up. And they heard the voice of the prophet saying, hallelujah, look and live. Your enemy is destroyed. Amen. They can look here. When Joshua stood up there and said, see, so the Lord will do to every one of your enemies. Look at the tree they're hanging up there. Look at dead, broken in that tree. When God showed his prophet, his enemy on that tree, he said, look at there, he's dead. Amen. And he believed that voice beyond what medical science was saying. I want to know if you will behave like all of them behave. When the voice showed them the enemy on the tree, on that old rugged cross, being nailed, every principal and power being spoiled. Because all that serpent on that pole, those men on that tree, it was all a type of Calvary. It was for showing Calvary. How many believe that? It was hell up there from the rising of the sun to the going down. Civilization following the sun, come from east to west. That's the whole journey from east to west, from the rising to the setting. That's from Paul in Jesus' day and the rising when he started in the east to when the Son of Man is revealed again in the west. And that whole gospel for 2,000 years, 7 church ages, that end sign is lifted up. The enemy was killed on that tree. It was being represented right there, all through the gospel age. And then after this, in the evening time when the sun sets, it must be taken down because if a 7 church ages, there's no more atonement after. Amen. Amen? Amen? And those people in every age was to look at that.
and see it. So friend, listen to me. Now watch. Medical science have the same symbol. But I want to prove to you, the voice is not the same voice. I want to prove to you, the voice is not a scriptural voice. They're holding up the sign hypocritically. And they don't even believe in God, half of them. They don't even believe it's the same, half of them. Let me tell you, when the real thing come, when the real Son of Man has been lifted up, that brass pole was nowhere around to be found. You know why? Hezekiah did not mash up that thing already. Because people think I make an idol out of it. Amen? Give me your undivided attention. Don't let the devil distract you and get all confused and looking all about tonight and trying to make you miss the word. This word is coming to wash you. This is a time of purification and cleansing. Amen. Amen. Now watch now. We try to build faith in the word, in what God said. Only believe the dust said the Lord. That's what we're trying to build faith in. I'm trying to focus you away from everything else. Focus you right to dust said the Lord. Am I wrong for doing that? Amen. What is FedEx Press? Page 15, he's coming to this great thing to show. When man really have faith, when faith falls into the bedding ground, when man have received God righteousness, receive a revelation. When man life begin to produce the works to show they have real faith. And he's talking about how divine healing is a mind and the devil can impersonate any gift that God got and so on. He said the same thing they do about divine healing. They think, well, it's a hocus pocus or something like that. He said, people think divine healing is a hocus pocus. You know, they're going to come to a line and somebody's going to do something for them. And then they'll go, hey, I'm healed. That thing is a hocus pocus. He said, it's a genuine, unadulterated faith in what God said to be the truth. What is divine healing? It's a genuine, unadulterated faith in what God said to be the truth. And that anchors. Why does it anchor? Because you know, heaven will pass away, but that world could never pass away. If God said you have to keep it because it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. That's the same word when God spoke and created the universe. Amen. When God said, let there be light, and it came to pass. When the virgin shall conceive, it came to pass. When he said, behold, I send you Elijah, and it came to pass. When the dove has prophesied again, and it's coming to pass. That's the same God. Amen. Who speak these things here? They know that God's words are creative. That's why it anchors. Let me tell you, if it's not God's word, if it's not the pure unadulterated word, faith could never anchor. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're taking the faith of the word of God and tying yourself to tie yourself to some medical voice or something, let me tell you, faith can't anchor there at all. Why? Because that is not the word of God. Now, mind you, I know God is healed through medicine. That's the word. God healed through music. I'm dealing with the revelation, the channel. I'm dealing with, if you like that, start there. And plug into that channel for yourself. When I say, God, heal me. God on the cross and God and all these different things. And God spoke to me and God showed me. And then turn that away. And go to something else. That's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm dealing with. That's what I'm dealing with. That's why I'm presenting it like this tonight. It's a genuine unadulterated faith in what God said to be the truth. That anchors. When it anchors, there's nothing going to move it. It's going to stay there. It's in our faith. It's a revelation from God. Let's build with this and close. Faith is a revelation from God. Tomorrow night, we'll be coming through the prayer line. I'm not saying anything will happen to you. I'm saying that I want to plant some seeds here tonight. Look for the Holy Spirit to water it tomorrow night. I'm saying if these seeds can find without that patch of weeds, It might be in your heart, patch of unbelief, all kind of creepers come in there, creep up and wrap around very slyly with man's wisdom around the seed that have been planted, choking the seed so the promise can't come forth in your life, converting you to another message coming from another book, by another preacher, messing up your womb, making you hybrid, and making you thinking you're in the will of God still. This time you already have denied your faith and fall away from your conviction. Watch. He said, there's where I want to stay. Faith is a revelation. Just for a moment. He has revealed it to you by His grace. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing you did. Why He revealed it to you by your grace? Because the revelation is sovereign. Jesus said, Father, I thank Thee that You hid it from the wise and the prudent, and You reveal it to babes such as would learn. The Holy Ghost had to reveal the word to John. Is that right? Yes. Holy Ghost had to reveal the word to Peter. Father in heaven reveal it to you. Flesh and blood reveal it to you. Holy Ghost always had to reveal the word. Yes. No other person could reveal the word but the Holy Ghost. Yes. He's the author of the word. He's the quickener of the word. Yes. Amen. So it's gonna show whether you've been with the male bird. If you're not with the male bird, you're going to lay some eggs, but it'll be rotten eggs. I think that's what's happening right now in the church. A lot of rotten eggs. Because you could sit on them, baby them, turn them over, warm them up, do everything you want. It's rotten. Why? Never been with the male bird. Not even fertile. You know what I'm saying? For these things become real to you, friend. Producing a life, you gotta be the male. Female don't have no life. She's only a bedding ground. You join the church, I'm in the church, I'm in the church, I'm in the group, I'm in the clique. That don't have no life. You gotta be the male. You're living off the woman tree. That's the tree of death. You gotta eat off the man tree. No. Amen. Just give me undivided attention. You're doing real good tonight. I know it's a little warm and so on, but the first night we're trying to nail these things down because we want to bring it to a real place. We're going to see how these things are going to be, just fellowshipping around these things. You're going to see how you're going to break over this weekend. Now watch. Because the word says, you take the prophets, say, my brethren, take the prophets who have spoken to you in the name of the Lord and have suffered affliction. Is that right? James 5:10. With patience to be an example. Aren't we doing that? Did we have a prophet? Did he speak in the name of the Lord? Did he suffer affliction? Did he endure? You have heard of the patience of Malachi 4? And you have seen the end of the Lord? Wait until I get that Sunday morning. You have seen. You have heard of the patience of Job and you've seen the end of the Lord. You have heard of the patience of Malachi 4. And you saw the end of the Lord. Is that right? Go up into the cattle in the mountains. Sure. God had a purpose. What was the end of the Lord? The achievement, the purpose, the goal. What he had a purpose behind it all. He had an end to achieve, something to accomplish. Is it the other frustration? What you're going through, is dead God frustrating you? From the time the devil put it in your mind, you're already defeated. But you have heard of the patience of Malachi 4. And you have seen the end of the Lord. That's what I'm saying tonight. I've heard the voice of the seventh heaven. I've seen the dead enemy. I've seen it. Those children of Israel saw it. They saw it on the tree. They saw it there on the shepherd's staff. Lifted up in the midst. Because Moses had faith. He saw his people dying. He didn't walk out and say, oh God, what are we going to do? How can we make it to the promise? Look, all the people be dying. No. Moses came and lift up that enemy killer on a tree. Amen. Hallelujah. He lift it up in the midst. Joshua saw the fear in the people, all these big armies at the face, all the nations coming against them.
He said, come here, don't you fear? Put your foot on the neck. What was he doing? He was driving the fear out of them. Amen. He was letting them know, you're not to be intimidated by these devils. Amen. Who is Joshua? The Holy Ghost in that Ephesians. At the end of the journey, is that right? Out of and into. Amen. That's what I'm saying tonight. If I have the same spirit, I'll do what they did. I can't beat my type. Amen. If I'm a next life, I say something, I do like Jairus and I say, well, she dead. You can't do nothing again. Fear not. Only be. He said, you are afraid whether God will keep that word. He would keep that word. He would keep that word. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never have faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. Let me say tonight, you never have faith. No, he's not talking about, like, a believer of faith. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about living by the faith of the Son of God. He's not talking about that. We all who are born again living by the faith of the Son of God. But that faith he's talking about is that inspiration that comes to you for the need you have. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. When God reveals it to you, faith catches it there. You say, this thing is for the glory of God. Amen. This must come to pass. Glory. Until that faith falls, you believe God. You know what God does. You believe God can do it. You walk around. You thank him. You trust him. You wait. Amen. But when that falls, amen, it's over. It's settled. That's why he said, I beg, I plead, I cried. I longed to see that vision. He said, I couldn't see it. It tormented me. People walk up with cancers, cripples, and wheelchairs. He said, vision would break for them right away. I said, rise, see if you can come on. But for myself, I couldn't see one. I seen vision about angels. I seen vision about King Saul. I seen vision about this. And I can't see vision about myself fully restored. I can't see myself totally delivered. I can't see my enemy killed. Amen. But that day in the bed, amen, he said, I looked there and I saw the thing there, amen. Yeah. The vision broke, the one that he wanted to see to tell him his troubles are ended. Yeah. You have an enemy too. Yeah. It's caused you trouble all your life. Yeah. Some of you might have a sex demon giving you a lot of problems. Some of you have a lust demon. Some of you have some sickness in your body, amen. Some of you have a fear. Some of you have a doubt in spirit, amen. Some of you are begging spirit. Some of you hypocritical. Some of you halfway. And you're wrestling, you're pleading, you're begging, you cry for God to take away that thing. And it seems like he won't do it. Amen. And you're longing for your faith to know it's over. It's under my feet. It's dead. It's finished. I'll never have it no more. I'd have all kind of experts. Professional people. Amen. All kind of people who is respected. Seem like they know what they're talking about. They have all the instruments. They do all the examinations. They come up with the conclusions. And they tell you, that is your portion. You inherit that from your father. He was a drunkard. It's hereditary. You'll always have it. You can't come out of it. Some of you want a baby and you can't get it. So you'll always be barren. God forbid, amen. You have to let these things bend you up and tie you up like that. Control life and ruin your life and frustrate you. Can't live happy and praise God. You think God don't know that? But God knows how to make you praise him. God knows how to give you a testimony. But he give you a test before he can give you a testimony. Amen. To see what you're made of in your testing time. You'll have a testimony that will stand every test. Amen. That will stand for all eternity. Something genuine. That man will have to confess. Amen. And say, I've heard what a believer. But now I see one. Amen. Who went through every test. Amen. You will see it. Glory! My absolute tonight! Tie me to my tie post, Lord!
Amen. Let me see my North Star. Tomorrow I might be in a dark sea. Amen. I might be drifting in a stormy weather. I might know where I'm going. Amen. The waves might want to sink my little boat. I might think I lost my direction. But I'm going to look tonight and see my North Star. They're going to bring me back out. I know where I'm going. I might be in the deepest jungles tonight. Amen. But all kind of mournful songs when they bring fear. All kind of beasts there to devour me. I might know where I'm all going to come back out. It's like my life is lost and bent for destruction. But if I can point my compass, it'll point back to the North Star. I'll know where I'm at. I'm bound to come back out. Why? Because it does not move. That North Star never moves. I want to be tied to something that will never move. That when I come to a dark hour, when I come to a hard place, when I don't know where to go, when I don't know how to turn, I want something that cannot fail. Do you want that tonight? Something that cannot fail. Hallelujah! Are you going to tide here? Are you going to anchor here? Amen! Or are you going to hold on to the shifting sands? Some are going to change the mold. Some of that machine the man had. They say, look, lady, this machine. No, but I'm going to tell the story about the old saint. His son was dying of diphtheria. Poor boy, sick. Take this dreadful disease. He was dying. Prophet was busy, trying to get him to come and pray. He couldn't come. The boy was going. The mushroom was going dong, 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 dong. Showing the boy he had a few, couple, maybe minutes to live again. Prophet went in the hospital. They won't let him go in. He asked him, he said, sir, could I go in? He says, no, you're not supposed to go in there. He said, what if it was a Catholic person and the Catholic priest would come to perform the last rites on them before they die? He said, well, that's different. He said, well, I'm to these people. Same with the Catholic priests as the Catholic people. He said, sir, let me go inside of there. He said, man, you are a married man. You can take this thing. We're going to have your family, your children, and these things. He says, look, leave that up to me. I'm going to stand responsibility. He said, dress me like a Ku Klux Klan, everything else. Put on all the different masks and different rubber gloves, everything else. Plastic shoes. He goes inside of there. He said, lift up that little thing over the bed where the man was and lays his hand and begin to pray. He said, one simple prayer. He said, he came back out. He said, here the man, the old saint, he's about 65, 70 years. He hung up his little wife there in the hospital, and she began to cry and began to praise God. He said, oh, honey, it's finished, it's over. He's going to be saved now. He'll not die no more. He said, that young graduate, no, she was a graduate. She had all the different medals and she specialty where she went away and studied and everything else. Decorated with charts and everything else. Full of knowledge in her head. Amen. She looked there and she said, she says, sir, what's the matter with you? He said, why are you doing that? He said, I've never been known in all medical history. He said, a court and rattled like a parrot. He said, that when this thing going that low, nobody's ever going to come back out of this thing. You know, he said, why are you giving that false hope and listen to what this man is saying? The old saint, he said, you promised the old patriarch. He looked at her in the eye. He said, little girl, he said, honey, let me tell you something. You are trained to look at that machine. And what that machine is saying is, well, we are looking at the promise. Hallelujah! We are looking at the promise. He said, you are looking at what our machine says, but we are looking at the promise. What are you looking at tonight? Amen! Are you listening to the voice of the seventh dove, the voice of the archangel, the voice of the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus? Amen! Who are you listening to tonight? Are you looking at the machine, what the man machine is saying? That is a machine that man make. We are talking about a word that God spoke. God said, your enemy is dead, it's finished. That's my absolute tonight. In the face of all criticisms, I don't care what you call me after this night. God forgive you, amen. Whether you think I'm crazy or not, but I'm standing there on that word. Glory. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never have faith. It's gifted by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church is built on revelation. That's why some people can't believe it. And some can't believe it. And some try to make believe it. In an audience, when people come to a prayer line, when a prayer line comes true, you say, they're all good people. Well, we'll say, there's some trying hard to believe it. Some trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by the grace of God. It's just given to them. And there is the difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. talking about David here now. Look at that faith. I want to show you how it came by revelation. This is how it came by vision. When it came by vision, John had absolutely tied himself to it. When the prophet came by vision to the prophet, he said, I consider not what the doctors tell me. I've seen what I wanted to see. God, show me something about myself. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He burst them cords that he was trying to bind him with. Take them shackles off his mind that he was trying to influence him with. Lift up them gates, amen. Trying to control him with, amen. He had seen something, he broke them some barriers. Amen. Glory. You know, it makes me wonder, say, where's the rugged faith? People are not even rugged anymore. Wishy-washy. Somebody get talking to me, did somebody get talking about it? Make me feel that all that happened to some people here, they've been talking to the message. They've been talking to this second cycle and talking to this unknown language and talking to this seventh seal and talking to all these different things. Because if it had been revealed long in their heart, nobody could move them from that. They heard from the theophanies. They link up with omnipotence. Hallelujah! Amen. Little David standing there. Look at a man who faith was given to him by the grace of God. There's a little piece of a leather, goat skin or sheepskin with two pieces of string tied to it. You know what it was? Two strings. These are the Old Testament and New Testament. The piece of skin. Amen. How do you call it? Basil? Amen. They put a stone in. He said, here the rock Christ. Amen. And the rock in skin. He said, God, the word becoming flesh. Between the two strings, the Old Testament and New Testament. Amen. Is that David said out there? Hallelujah! You had a revelation of Christ, the atonement, the word being made flesh. Amen. Glory. His brothers may be more able to do it. Saul said, head and shoulders over above the army. But you see, it wasn't revealed to them. Get it? They believe it could be done. They believe that God could do it. But it wasn't revealed right there. So we're not talking about your belief. What you believe God could do? I believe God could heaven and earth. I believe God can speak a world into existence. I believe God can bring a city from heaven. I believe that God will change his body. I believe God will speak and bring the dead out of the grave. We're not talking about that. They believe that. We don't know what God would do. They believe God could do it, but David knew God would do it. Amen. Now watch now. It wasn't revealed to them, but it was revealed to David. So there's the difference right there. If it's absolutely revealed to you that God is going to heal you, you are going to get it right there. If it is revealed to you. Not to try to work yourself up into it. Not to try to believe it. Not to try to press into it. No, by grace. Coming down and picking you up on a higher level. Just like grace brought the vision. And say, here it is, son. Little bit longer to you. Here it is. It covers our engine. Amen. Just like Joshua brought them and said, come, put your foot in them. See how they feel to have a big devil under you. Amen. Feel like a conqueror. Stand here. See yourself doing it. Amen. Putting the foot on the neck was a humiliation to the enemy. When they capture the enemy, they bring the enemy and they would go there and they would put the foot on the neck like that. Purposely do that as a sign that he is totally subdued. His power is completely broken. It will not trouble you no more. And that's why that after they had him in the cave, they bring him out. Hog tied them and put him there. He said, no, you come up here now. This one called cancer. This one called diabetes. Sugar. You know, sugar is poison, amen. Glory. He said, this one here called epilepsy. He said, put your foot on them. Mash them. Didn't God say, well, that cause snake, the worst that we have in the country? He said, I can't mash the thing. He said, I come back 2 days afterwards and that weasel was right there. He said, I put my foot in and I mash it. Amen! That is what God wants us to do. Put your foot upon them things. Hallelujah! He said, and so God will do to every other enemy. So from this day on, fear is out of the question. He said, we drive it completely out. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. What was God pointing them to in type? Where every enemy was going to be subdued, he was pointing to the enemy hung on a tree. Amen! He's going to hang there for the whole day. Every man all through the land. They don't have pollution in them days, you know. They don't have industrial pollution, cloud up the sky, can hardly see the distance. They can stay from a great distance and say, what now? That looks like five demons hanging up there on that tree, or what? They can stay from afar off and see them on a clear day. And the gospel light, the sunlight, was shining upon the enemy destroyed, killed on a tree.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit, amen, speaking Joshua, amen, the voice of that seventh dove, amen, the voice of God in the midst, telling them, look, don't fear them no more. They still had to believe it. They still had to believe it. Amen. So notice when it's revealed, David became fearless. When it's revealed, you become fearless. David has seen the giant there, but you know what he said? He said, this guy will cut your head off. You come at me sword and spear. You come at me with all kind of scalpel and all kind of oxygen tent and all kind of injection and these things. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. I said, I feel good now. Amen. I feel the court fitting me now. Amen. Yes, son. God help us to have faith tonight. Amen. Let that boo back that devil and get smaller and smaller. I believe that devil running through the church, but boo, 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 and people get getting smaller and smaller. He'll boo you out of existence if it's still like that. I say, rise up and start booing back. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there all of God by the grace in that crucial moment when decision had to be made? You get it? Yeah. You go in the office sometimes and say, look, lady, you only got a chance of an operation inside of this place because, look, this thing's scheduled here. We don't have a place. We try to fit you inside of here and talk all this nonsense about your church and your God and your waiting. In a crucial moment when decision has to be made. It's right that people just crack up. Don't know what to do. Hallelujah. But Joshua, amen. Hallelujah. But he had a decision to make. The battle was going. He was losing the battle. The enemy was routing. They had a chance to rout him and the sun was going down. But quickly just struck him, just stand still. I need that light. Amen. Glory be to God. The Holy Ghost pushed upon him. He made a decision. Moses, seeing the enemy coming behind him. What to do, Lord? Told me to stretch your rod. He told me that he had a decision to make. He was in a crucial spot. He needed to make a decision right there. What to do? He said, can't have a whole night prayer meeting. Didn't have time for it. Amen. Somehow he broke into that channel. Amen. Suffering grace dropped just what he needed. He heard it coming to his own lips. He said, you work on that. Work on that scary moment like Joshua, like Mary Magdalene. Just in that moment when something's revealed, grab it. Hold it. Just in that scary moment when, in a crucial time, when decision is to be made. That same God that produced that grace in that day, dropped that seed of faith in that little hunchback looking boy, seeing in his heart. God seen that little boy's heart. God tells Samuel, I look on the outward appearance. I see his heart. Anoint him. Because God knew that day in the battle, that heart will stand there for God's glory, not for self-gain. Amen. Glory to take away the reproach from among his people who was running and hiding at the threats of that giant. Trying to tell them they can't have that victory. Amen. Glory. That man, if you can believe it, with all the trouble, when that little grain of faith is revealed to you, I don't care how long it takes. But until that happened, every preacher in the world, get it now, could pray. I don't say it wouldn't help you, it would encourage you. But until that faith, see that healing power is in you. It don't come from the preacher, it comes to you by revelation, by faith. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. My spirit, my grace reveals it to you, and there's nothing can take it away by faith, by revelation. Every preacher in the world could pray for you. He said, I don't think it'll help you, I'm going to encourage you, but that don't do it. It's not the preacher praying, let's do it. He said, that healing power is in you. Amen. It don't come to the preacher, it comes to you by revelation, by faith. Amen. That's what I want to bring to you. You see when it's going to come to your prayer line? Some trying to believe it, some trying to work yourself up in it, some trying to make believe it, some trying to press their way into it. No. Some expecting the preacher, when he laid a hand on them, something's going to happen to them. No. It comes to you. That healing power is in you. People think it's a hocus pocus, but it's unadulterated faith in what God has said. Look at John. John expresses faith in what God had revealed to him. Therefore, works his faith testimony. John said, I talk about it. John, this is our revelation. He said, when David gets his revelation, he gets fearless. Yes. He said, when you get it, you get fearless. Yes. The thing that's breathing, shall pick you up here, I'll make the birds eat you, I'll kill you today.
And the cancer saying, I'll kill you, I'll wither you down. Diabetes saying, you're looking at me, you think I'll eat easy? I'll bring you down to a bone. I'll dry you up. My name is sugar. It ain't no cure for me. Amen! When fear dropped in his heart, he didn't fear the thing no more. He became fearless. He said, I'll cut your head off. He didn't even have a sword. He said, I'll cut your head off today. When it struck John, John said, there's one stand among you. He says, he's mightier than I. He didn't see me yet, but reveal. He's going to testify. He's here somewhere. So therefore works his faith testimony. When you see it acting like you are healed, then you know you got faith that you are healed. What does testimony say? Saying, I have it now because I received God's promise. It's now working in me. I am making ready for it to happen. I receive it. It's working now in me. I am making ready for it to happen. Your works go to works. Amen. If your intellectuals tell you, he said, here's this thing now. If your intellectuals just tell you that this is the truth, that God is the healer of sickness, your mind can witness that is the truth. Your intellectuals tell you, God is a healer. God, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. Your intellectuals tells you, God is a healer. He said, your mind can witness that is the truth. But if there is not the bedding ground in your heart for faith to fall into, to express it, it will not happen. Amen. What am I saying? Then come a little further than that. I'm saying don't stay there and just witness that God can do those things. Come a little further than that now. Walk out of there. Don't stay in there thinking that it's faith. Walk out of there now and say, Lord, let me start to see it express itself in me. Let me start to see I get fearless. Let me start to see I can testify I already have it because it's now working in me already. Amen! Bring me to that level, Lord. Come in now. Amen, we're doing good. At 100 years, we're going to talk about Abraham now. Look at different ones. He's bringing out how that faith was dropping them, how they coming through that channel. By grace was given to them now. Holy Spirit come and reveal to John the word. Holy Spirit revealed it, came back there, then bring him to the manifestation. Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon, then bring Simeon to the reality. Is that right? Yeah. Same Holy Spirit revealed, same Holy Spirit will produce the reality of what the Holy Spirit revealed. Is that right? Amen. It was revealed to Simeon now. Amen. Amen. When God dropped that to me, I know he'll not die. He had expectations. When it's revealed, you get expectations. Amen. I'll not die until I see the Lord's Christ. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory! Don't feel bad tonight. I know some of you in a bad place, but don't feel bad. See grace coming to tell, make you walk out today now. See, take this as light shining in your dark valley to bring you out now. You won't stay in that unbelief no more. You won't stay in that place where you're going to die right there taking all your medicine. Amen. Depending on what some man says, some medical journal has uninspired. But instead of walk in the promise of God, instead of look to Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. The El Shaddai. Instead of look to him. Look and live, amen. Make a step towards me. Make a step towards you tonight. If you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you tonight. Either I am God's servant speaking God's word out of God's Bible, or I'm a false representative that need to bring a doctor here and tell you the truth. Yeah. Amen. Sure. But if it's God's word, then not my word. Because I'm telling you his word. Amen. Then if you don't have faith inside of you to take his word, something is wrong with you. Amen. Look at Abraham. It wasn't even considered. When it was revealed to Abraham, he was growing weaker. His body was getting weaker. His body was dead and getting weaker. From 65 years to 100 years, he was getting weaker. 75 to 100, he was getting weaker. The very body that he needed strength in to produce the promise. And though it was becoming weaker, and give the doctors more reason to tell him it cannot happen. God was saying, it will happen. Oh, I'm sorry. That was only for Abraham. That is not for Abraham's seed. After him. Is that what the Bible says? Oh. Oh. I may be some guy get the Holy Ghost. Where you get the Holy Ghost from? What is it doing you? How does it make you act to the world? You got the Holy Ghost just to go to heaven, but not to live here and overcome them devils. Holy Ghost didn't come for that. Holy Ghost come here to continue the works of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. So he wasn't considered, when it's revealed to him, the dead is not considered. You are a paralytic. I didn't even say that right, but that's the best I could say. Or whatever you are, that isn't considered. The wheelchair is not under consideration. Or the little boy may be paralyzed, whatever it is. I don't know. It's not under consideration. Don't even consider it. I'm reading his words. But the doctor said, he'll never get out of here. The doctor said, she'll never come. That's not even considered. Then why are we considering it? We want to consider what they say. And then say we believe God and want God to do something. Well, you ought to stop considering what they're saying. And say what God said. He said, confess means to say the same thing. When it's revealed to you, you can't make it happen. It's got to be revealed to you. Then you don't even consider anything else. How impossible it is. Now, don't consider what the doctor said. You don't consider what mama said, what papa said, what the preacher said, what anybody said. You just consider what God said. When it's revealed to you, you only consider what God said. The circumstances, no circumstance will be considered when faith finds bedding ground. Let me bring it down here now. He said, now, look, you crippled people here. I suppose you had come early. I told him early. Now you don't have a card. If you got that faith like I taught, you teach on faith. Show them what it is, how it makes them behave, how they can work themselves in it, how it comes to my grace. He himself had long to see a vision. He had faith. He was a prophet. He had great, 30,000 saved at one time. 7 truckload one time, and didn't have the faith for himself until the vision came, and he had an absolute to get tied to something to make him break the strong barrier. He said, I consider not what the doctors tell me now. Look, it's what they want now. He said, I see the vision. Amen. Amen. I heard the voice of the seven dove. I see the enemy dead on the tree. Amen. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying, look at Moses. Moses was a shepherd. Moses was in the midst of his call out people, shepherding them. Moses saw his people dying. He didn't point them to some medical journal. He didn't point them, let me go back to Egypt, to the Egyptians, and get some of their wisdom. Run for help in Egypt. In your time of trouble. Is there no balm in Trinidad? Is there no physician here? Why are you helping those my people of God? 1978, Lenhart Building. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Little boy preacher, not one gray hair in the head yet. Ain't go one place outside of Cookie and Woodbrook. But he stood up right there when people talk all this nonsense. And something in the heart. I can't take a negative talk. I'm a believer. I love a challenge. I believe God is God. A real Christian will fight when their back get on that wall. They don't raise up their hand and give in. Then they start going to fight him. You might push him and push him and push him too far. Amen. Let me see. Is there no balm in the bride tonight? Is there no physician here? I'm seeing the same physician who was there in the meeting in Fort Wayne. When the little image girl was playing the piano, the great physician now is near. And that physician had healed that child on the platform. And she saw it and she just raised up praising God, singing in unknown tongues. And the piano never missed a key. I'm seeing that same physician is here tonight. The great physician now is near. They sympathize in Jesus. Will the musicians get ready to come and play that for me? Amen. He said, I might pray. He said, if you've got the faith like I taught, it's revealed to you, all right. If it isn't revealed, no matter what, if you be in a dozen prayer lines, it wouldn't help you a bit. And I'm laying down these things so you'll not come haphazardly tomorrow. I'm showing you what Moses did for his people. I'm showing you what Joshua did for his people. I'm showing you what God did for Malachi 4. I'm showing you, I'm looking at them examples in the Bible. It was given for example. I'm pointing to one, greater than all that, to Calvary. Where every principality and power broke on that tree. When that lamb died there, and he broke every person, and he crushed that serpent head. It all brings you back to the cross. It's not no funny revelation. It brings you right back to where the price for healing was paid. As those cruel stripes is made. It brings us right back, dear friend. So you say, I might pray. I do all I could. Get down on my knees and lay hands on you. Anoint you with oil. Any way you want to. Until God, by grace, reveals that in your heart that it's over, then it's done. God revealed to him, your enemy is dead. It was over. It was done. He said, I consider not. He didn't take it into consideration no more. He said, I consider not what the doctors tell me. The man name was Dr. Ray from Zurich. That struck me when I read this time. I said, I preached on that 1986. Had a meeting in Krung Reef. Come back in Bata in 1988. Bring it to Abel Country in 1991. Why does it mean so much to me? Down in Argentina, Buenos Aires. Long to go there. Many, many years. Then we came and went to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And I testified to the filth, the carnality in all them coastal cities. Pleasure seekers. Then we went on to have the meetings at the bottom of the earth. Argentina. Finished the meeting. Stand in the yard praying. And the brothers asked me to pray. I was the only English speaking. Well, John should not speak English, but he speaks Spanish. And I prayed, and he interpreting the prayer, and we praying there. As I finished saying, Lord, let your dove lead these eagles. As you led the prophet in their faith that you have never known. As you finish, the expression that came upon the minister white face. She says, look. And right there was a snow white dove. They know where it come from. I came back and I preached the sign of the snow white dove. Followed up all this, including a mountain and olive leaf, believing the testimony in the mountain of the seventh dove, your enemy is still dead, all them different things that God gave of that message. It was sealed up one time. But God broke it open. Because there is something inside of you. And I trust that God help us, will mean more to us, become more precious to us, help build us up in this faith in this hour. And we who love Jesus, who have forsaken everything to follow him, who desire to really please him, will know it takes his very own faith in you to please him. Because without that faith, that perfect faith, it's impossible to please God. But Abraham looked at the church in this hour, he says, they hardly have faith for divine healing. When them seven tongues of their voices, they're not only going to bring faith with divine healing, they're going to bring perfect faith. They're going to show them the position of the world, what part of the world they are. It will give them faith for rapture in grace. Wait until that group with them seven tongues of their voices, we can take the word and hand it there. He had gone through those things and he had seen it. He knew his own life. He said, I went to Mayo Brothers. Best medical authority in the world. That was San Fernando General Port Authority General Hospital. Nonsense. Mayo Brothers. Worldwide reputation. Best equipment, everything. They examined me. He says, while I was there and they examined me, waited a couple days, took all different kind of tests. That morning, he said, I was going to get my results. He said, I went out there in the living room that morning praying before I go. He said, a vision broke. And as the vision broke, He saw himself as a little boy. He's about 7 years old. And then he was out there where his weasel den was. He said, the animal, cruel little thing, like current flying out here, beady eyes. And he says, there's the den of that enemy. And he run there with a stick and started shaking on the log. He run out and started jumping from shoulder to shoulder. And he go to see, he had a little knife and he's trying to stab it. He said, that little knife was the surgeon's knife. It was unable to do anything about it. He said, give him a chance that I cut the nerves in my stomach there to try to stop it. He said, but in that vision, when I opened my mouth, I said something, it went in my stomach. I mean, it turned back, it was killing me. He said, I heard a voice says, remember, it's only 6 inches long. Later he said, that's man suffering. Six is the number of man, six is man suffering, 6,000 years. Man suffering, that enemy in the Garden of Eden that caused all man suffering. But that enemy was killed on a tree one day. Was hung on a tree until his son come from east to west. That enemy has been destroyed. For 2,000 years, God approved his word in every age by believers who would believe that word. After he saw those things, he said, went on and on. Went to another doctor. They tried to tell him my heart. Different opinions. They're experimenting, they're taking tests, they're hoping they come up with the right answer. He said, then one day, I heard a voice again says, don't let them tell you that's your heart, that's your stomach. He said, I went to my friend, Dr. Samed, yeah. He examined me. He said, Billy, I see nothing wrong with you. Perfectly well. He said, I went out there to Africa, came back. Running one day, he said, I'm almost going to kill me. It took me again, I don't know what to do. Went to some doctors again. They said, sir, you're so nervous. Your father used to drink. You had the blues. It's just like a human grab bag. You're just maybe hoping you can come out it, but you really can't come out it. You'll have this all your life. You'll never be healed of this thing. You'll have to live with that. He said, think of it. The best doctors in the world was telling me I could never come out it. That voice wasn't giving him no hope. That voice was trying to take away hope from him. He said, then they tell me, there's a Christian doctor. He said, you have this special little instrument you can put on your stomach. You can see what inside, give you a little kind of Panadol or something like that. Put it to sleep. He said, okay, I think I'm going to take a test. I went out to this next doctor, from one doctor, doctor after doctor after doctor. Everyone, a different diagnosis. No hope. Finally, he says, when I went there, the man told me, he says, Dr. Raven's what? I say, yeah, he's a raven. The raven had to say something negative. We had to listen to no voice of no raven. That's a crow. We want to hear what the dove is saying. Yeah. He said, the man says, Mr. Branham. He says, a nice man. He said, the man is so gentlemanly-like. Treat you nice. Sit down, have magazines to read before you're going for your interview with the doctor. Nice receptionist there, well manicured and everything else. Almost singing when she answers the phone. Nice soft music while listening to the doctor's office. Praise strings, give you a heavenly atmosphere. Man have his office so organized, you can find where every little buckle, every little pin, every little thing is, bandage and everything else. Treats you so nice. He's so trained now to deal with the human spirit and everything else. Now to relax you and settle you, to break the news gently so you wouldn't go paranoid on these things. Has a little medical symbol there, the serpent on the pole, the right sign. But his voice is not a scriptural voice. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And he says, Mr. Branham himself, it's impossible for you to be well. Don't take it too hard now. You still live a normal life. We'll have the right medication for you. You just come for a regular visit and you use this 3 times a day, use this 4 times a week, drink some of this, Don't use this, don't drink this, don't eat this, don't do this, don't do this. And make it right by a Pharisee again. What you eat, what you drink, what you do, don't touch not, handle not, the taste not. Make it another convert. He's just a good man. He said, but somehow, I kept holding on. Not much revelation, but I kept holding on. The word that voice, I remember, is only 6 inches long. Hoping one day, praying, begging, pleading, one day. That morning, I went back home and I went to bed, got up early, looked across, the wife was sleeping. My window was facing up in the Catalina Mountains, where God put that sword in my hand. Where those seven angels appeared to me. It's good to look in the direction of how God deals with you. It's good to look back in the places where God has met you and done things in your life. In that kind of place, new visions break. In that kind of atmosphere, fresh hope arises in the darkest hour. Hallelujah! Something can come to you, amen. Like blind Bartimaeus, you were sitting in the right place. You were sitting on the stone. He had a dream the night before. Glory! Hallelujah! That he was seen again. And he came out late that morning. And he was sitting on the very rock that blasted off from the walls of Jericho when Joshua passed right there. And he began to think, oh my, if I remember that Joshua, that great general, was passing right here by Jericho, I don't want to ask him to help me. Oh, and Elijah, and Elisha was passing right there, I don't want him to ask me. He is look where he's looking. He's looking in the right direction. That's how inspiration comes. It's what you're looking at tonight. It's when you're looking back, you're thanksgiving in your heart. Amen. Don't slam your door, trust him. Hallelujah. The Lord give it and the Lord take it away. I don't know, Lord, but I know you can give me faith. I know you can break a vision before my eyes. I know you can lift me up. I know I can't work myself into it. I know a preacher could pray for me. I can go to 10, 11 prayer lines. They're not going to help me, Lord. But if only I could see something to let me know my troubles are ended. And inside of the air, inside of the air, friend, something begin to come. What about you tonight? We're closing, we're going home. You come to a long journey, many years. Many of you sit in the air tonight, have your condition, and you believe in God. You're watching the group sitting down. The group who is standing looking for deliverance. You see many recanting and going this way and that way. Once they do it once, they need to do it a second time. Every little thing comes, they want a coffin, all they want this, they want that. You go, right, you do it once. Do the next time. And become dependent. And they have an opportunity to see the word live. And see God prove his word. Could your heart get into his heart tonight and see that he wants to prove it? He wants a believer that he can come to. He said, I looked then. I said, yeah, that's cruel then. There he is. And while he's looking there, the voice says, go to the Catalina Mountains. He said, I dropped my boy to school. He said, I went up, climb high. While I was walking, there's all of a sudden a reverence. I felt a presence. He said, I look, and there was that weasel, that screw-like creature. That thing that troubled me all my life. The doctor said, I'll never get over it. I saw it there in that trawler, that jumping cactus. It got itself speared through. It was dead there. He said, I looked at it. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice speaking from heaven. That voice was the same voice in the room 15 or 16 years ago who had said, remember, it's 6 inches long. That voice was the same one who gave the vision and said, don't let them tell you. That's your heart, that's your stomach. That was that same one who gave the mother the dream and said, Billy, I saw 6 doves coming from heaven. You were dying there and they come cooing to your heart, they came on an S like from heaven. He had never really seen 6 little doves come down. They only appear in a dream. But they came from heaven. And when he saw the 7 one, that one was literal. He said, where did that one come from? Did it come from the same place the other six come from? He said, I knew one. No, one day I'd see that one. He said, I know I'm going to see him one day. He said, and there he was watching right straight westward. I said, what are you doing out here? The very God of creation. He says, the Lord coming down on the wings of a dove. God coming down himself to confirm something to me. Friends, I don't know what these things mean to you many times. We hear it, we sing about it, we talk about it. For years, many of us have a little dove in our mind. Bring him back like a little baby in the manger. The dove is just a nature friend. He just represents himself there to show his loyalty. To show he come for atonement, for cleansing, for sacrifice. To show his relation to humanity. How he unfold himself down to the Bible. To every need that we have. But it's the same God who came in the form of a man. Came in the form of a rainbow. Came in the form of a pillar of fire. Came in the form of a cloud. It's that same God tonight. The omnipotent God. May we tonight, the prophet, look there, when he saw that vision, it just struck his heart. He left that mountain with assurance. You going home now, tonight, going in your cars, taking your transportation out and going out, you came to service tonight and you heard his word. It challenged our hearts. It spoke to us. God's word, God's voice is God's word. And God and his word is the self same person. And you can never fail, friend. The Holy Spirit speaking through his word. Would you tie your soul to that tonight? His unfailing word. Would that be your absolute? The voice of that dove? Or you stand confused? Or medical science, the voice of medical science give you a guarantee. Or you cannot look and see your enemy killed on a tree. Why is it always on a tree? Because that is where, in the Garden of Eden, when man took of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and fall the human race from eating from that tree, he's going to come back and die on a tree to bring us back to the real tree, the tree of life. And down through the Bible, he gave those shadows and types always. Even down to this prophet, the enemy is still on that tree. And perfect faith, he says, can he heal the sick? Peter 4:35. If he can lift me up with faith this way, even for the people, if they can't climb to that bracket, see if they can't do it, he can use my faith. Here the prophet with faith for his own people. You know, many of them needed healing, but didn't have the faith for it. He said, but he can use my faith. Not my faith to make them heal, but my faith there. In him for them, for him to give them that faith which he has given me. Remember, no preacher can't do it for you. Remember, your faith, the healing power is in you. But grace could bring that revelation to you. Because the spirit in him, that same spirit of grace could intercede for you. It was Christ and Moses saying, Lord, spare him. Listen how he says it here. He can use my faith, can lift me to that place, and I'm climbing for you. I'm believing for you, I'm speaking for you. I'm your brother standing as your brother, an intercessor, trying my best to hold you before God. And I'm standing right before the white throne now, pointing my finger to that bloody sacrifice there and speaking through its name that it's done. So I'm coming up there like an intercessor, like a brother, an intercessor, like a high priest, a forerunner, going into before the Lord, entering to that place where you know these things are real, these things are true. He had seen it on the tree. He had come back now to lift it up in their midst and show it to them. Like Moses did. Look and live, my brother. Look and live, my sister. Hear his voice speaking tonight, saying it's done, it's finished. May his grace drop that faith in your heart tonight. May his spirit bring your soul in that attitude, bring your mind in that channel, that his word could be energized and quickened by the only one who can quicken the word to make it produce itself after its kind which is the Holy Spirit. He alone is the quickening of that world. That you could be a real witness who will have a true testimony. You'll rise up that ash heap saying, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, now what if you could give me a vision and tell me, this proven his word. So, tell this woman something to do. That, well, I believe then, if I laid my hands upon her, she'd get well. Do you believe that? But what if he didn't give the vision? What would the vision do? Only give me faith. Transmitting my faith, the unseen power of God. Listen to this here. Now, if every one of you die right this minute, you'd never leave this, you'd never see you leave your body. All your mental faculties, all that you are would leave, but you'd never see it go. The force that makes me move my hands, the force that could make me think, the force that could make me preach, the force that could make me live, act, that same force that can motivate this body would leave it, and you wouldn't see that force leave. It's an unseen force. So is faith. Don't miss this, he says. Faith. And Jesus said, they shall lay their hands on the sick. Now, see if I went and had a vision and laid hands on her, I believe she's going to get well because I saw the vision. My confidence is in the vision. But what about the word? Lay hands on her with the same faith. What about the word tonight? Now I preach here. Uncle Numbers. Uncle Joshua. Uncle Peter. Where he's talking about how he's killing a tree first. We all like sheep have gone astray. What about the word? Lay hands on her. With the same faith. The vision's only given to motivate my faith and your faith. With the same faith, without the vision, it will work just the same. You say, could I really believe that? Perfect faith, page 26. He said, oh, where should we be? There's perfect faith. Talking about the schools being spoken into existence. No vision, just speak the word. When he shooted, is that vision no bleed? He said, wasn't a vision? Just speak the word. It's just as good as the vision. So if John Abson was the vision, his Abson was the vision, yours is the word, friend. It's just as good as the vision. His word of promise tonight. Some people are given great faith. Some don't have that kind of faith. They're given visions to give them that faith. See? Now see, it'll still be the same dirty hands of the same person, just lean hands. But if he could go as an intercessor tonight and plead it on your behalf, God could drop that faith. Grace could bring it to you. That dove could coo that word. The dove of the word cooing in your heart. By my stripes you are healed. Have no fear. You shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. Your enemy is dead. That dove could coo something to you tonight that bring real assurance. That you don't have to be bound up by the voices of medical science. The voice of wisdom. You can walk forth under the voice of faith. The voice of that seventh dove. That's the true voice of the sign, friend. We have the sign and we have the voice. They have the sign, but they have a false voice, an unscriptural voice. They have a voice that comes from the medical journal. But you have the very voice, the one who gave the sign. Who is the sign himself? As Moses lifted up that brass, and so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You're not looking at a weasel on a tree tonight. You're not looking at a dead king of AI on a tree tonight. Or five dead kings of five nations there. You're not looking at a brass on a pole tonight. You're looking at the Son of Man lifted up. You have something greater to look to tonight. Won't you look and live? The great physician is near. The same but I did. speaks the drooping heart of Chetanai. Always with his word, always with his word. That voice of that seven doves speaking your drooping heart of chair. Letting you see your enemies dead. Oh, yeah. Would you hear it tonight, friend? Would you receive it in your heart? Isn't it sweet? Isn't it a beautiful voice? Doesn't it bring assurance? Doesn't it give confidence? Doesn't it take away the fear from you? Seraph song, sweetest name. Not Dr. Fear, not Dr. Imagination, not Dr. Unbelief, Dr. Jesus. Not Dr. Ravensworth. Dr. Dove. His precious blood to cleanse us. Oh, we should confess it. Oh, he had a voice. Voice bringing comfort and peace. Tie yourself to that voice, to that word. Go on your way. Go in peace to heaven. Wear a crown. When the battle is over, you surely will wear a crown. The prophet had a V-day. The battle is over. The victory is won. The enemy was defeated. All glory to the dying Lamb. Oh, we praise you, Father. We give glory unto you, Lamb of God. You took our place in Calvary. We thank you. We bless your name tonight. Let your word bring courage, faith in the hearts of your people, Lord.